this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and we're once again recording at Nutmeg with our engineer Frank Verderosa. And we've got someone who one day I'll figure out what he actually does for a living.
For a living, Paul Raper.
Yeah, yes.
It's not this.
Yeah, no.
I've never done this for a living.
Colossal Obsessions.
Hi, Pauly.
Hi.
Hey, we're going to do something different this week for Amazing Colossal Obsessions. We're going to let Paul come up with an idea.
Oh, can I just throw one thing in first?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, sure.
One actor who, you know, you kick yourself like, oh, we should have asked him.
Uh-oh.
Powers Booth.
Yes, also Roger Moore.
Yeah, and Roger Moore.
Both. We didn't talk about them in a previous episode.
Powers Booth was... He got famous from being Reverend Jim Jones in the TV movie.
Oh, that's right. The Guyana.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And then he was in a movie that I guess I can recommend if I haven't recommended it. And that was called Southern Comfort.
Oh, Walter Hill's movie.
Yeah.
I know that movie. Yeah, good actor.
Yeah, it was similar to Deliverance.
Yeah, he could do a lot of things.
Yeah, he was a really good actor, Powers Booth.
We should acknowledge his passing, also Roger Moore, and also a Universal horror actress. Elena Verdugo died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, did you see that? I think she was 92. And she's in The Wolfman?
Yeah, she was either in The Wolfman or House of Frankenstein.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Evelyn Ankers.
Wow.
Yeah, she passed away at 92, and... Also, Gilbert was did some play-by-play at the Met game yesterday.
Really?
How was that?
I saw you.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you. I walked by the TV. I saw you on the TV, and I kept walking.
Mr. Met, the mascot, gave the finger. It's in the press. It was on the cover of the Daily News. And I said to my wife, that has to have something to do with Gilbert being at the park. I don't know what the connection is.
And while I was there, because I don't understand baseball at all, I saw in big letters on the screen it said KKK.
On the scoreboard?
Yeah,
yeah. That's what I was telling you and Tara. Those are strikeouts.
Yeah.
That's for people keeping score in your scorecard. You write a K, it means the batter struck out.
I don't think Gilbert's going to buy that.
No.
Yeah.
But you were on the Met game. You did a little play-by-play with Howie Rose?
Yes, and Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker was there,
Mr.
Baseball. Did you ask him to confirm or deny Mr. Belvedere sitting on his balls?
Oh, jeez. Well, now we'll have to have him on.
Get him back.
Oh, jeez. I didn't even draw the connection.
Yeah, sure.
These things kill me. Number one, I didn't ask Bob Uecker if Mr. Belvedere sat on his balls. On Bob Uecker's balls,
right,
on his
that's
own
different.
Balls. Because then that would have been fine.
Yeah.
But I had, you know, we had on Norman Lear.
Norman Lear. You didn't do Damn, Damn, Damn. Is that what you're lamenting?
No. Oh. The Damn, 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 I'm sorry I didn't do with John Amos.
John Amos is going to come back for a mini episode. So you'll get your shot.
He'll have to say Damn, Damn, Damn. But we were talking, and it seems like Norman Lear worked with Milton Berle. And
yes.
I didn't ask about Milton Berle's dick.
It's in the book.
It is?
Him and his wife is, I guess, wife too. They went backstage to see Milty, and he said Milty was touching himself and sitting there in his boxers and with his robe open. But we'll get there.
So he saw two legendary comedians' dicks. He saw Milton Berle's dick and Jerry Lewis's dick.
Well, that's why he's remembered the way he is.
All right, so enough of the housekeeping. Do you want to let Paul has a premise for us for this mini episode, and we're going to let him steer it.
So this was suggested by La La Land, which I happen to, you either love or you hate La La Land, right? Nobody's lukewarm. I happen to love it. I liked it. I've seen it three times.
Okay. I worked with the star of that when he was a little kid.
Ryan?
Yeah,
oh, Ryan with Ryan Gosling on the Mickey Mouse show?
No. He may have been a teenager.
Right.
I worked with him on this show, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, I know that show. That's cool.
It is. That's great. Yeah. So Anyway, I assume you guys haven't seen it.
I saw it.
Nobody
saw it.
In it is over 90. I thought
I
you would.
I saw
have.
Screener. I watched it. I watched it on Christmas Eve. I'll have you know.
Yeah. What did you think? Are you a lover? Hey, you
liked it. I love the beginning. I didn't think the story. Well, I don't suppose there's any reason to look for a story in a musical like
right.
that. But
right.
I very much admired the ambition and the filmmaking of it. It was bold.
Well, that's so. Even for those who hated it. In this episode, we're going to go way deeper.
Okay.
Than that.
So your premise, as I understand it, is not good musicals like La La Land.
No, bad musicals.
Bad.
Some of the worst musicals. In fact, we're going to start with not only one of the films that's acclaimed as one of the worst film musicals of all time, but many people can consider it to be the worst film of all time.
Wow, that's tough talk.
And what's interesting about that is it was directed by a former podcast guest.
Well, I now know what it is, but don't tell Gilbert.
Oh.
You queued up some
we
music.
Queued up,
too?
So can we? I think we
Henry
can.
Winkler.
No, you're gonna. I guess the idea here, Gil, is you're gonna hear the song and try to name the musical.
Right. So let's hear a song from the musical and see if you can tell.
So this would be the.
First, the
Bob
first
Costas.
Few.
No. Bob Costas. Here it comes.
At words poetic, I'm so pathetic that I always have found it best.
Who's the singer?
Instead of getting them off my chest, to let them rest on its breath.
You mustn't do that.
I hate parading my serenading, and I'll probably miss a bar.
That was good.
But if this ditty is not so pretty, at least it'll tell you how great you are. You're the top. You're a Waldorf sound. You're the top.
The director? He directed the movie I was in with Richard Pryor, Bogdanovich.
Yes. That's right.
So, Long Last Love?
Right. Very
yes.
good.
Yeah.
Who was singing?
Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
God damn it. No stumping him.
Unbelievable.
It took you 42
you
minutes.
Yeah.
So it was, now, here's an interesting thing. His co-star was
Sybil Shepherd.
His girlfriend.
Yeah. And at the time they made the movie, he was 39 and she was 25.
Yeah.
So this turns out to be, when I was doing the research, it's an interesting theme. Music Man. Robert Preston is about 15 years older than his co-star.
Shirley Jones.
It happens over and over again. I don't know why that is.
An epidemic in the movies, not just musicals.
Not just musicals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in On the Waterfront, Carl Malden is the old priest.
Yeah.
And Ava Marie Saint is the young girl, virginic little girl. And then a few years later, they were in a TV movie as a married couple.
Oh, my God. That's disturbing. Yeah, there's a lot of that. The thing about a Long Last Love, and I'm going to go out on a limb, it's not as absolutely dreadful as people say it is. It's well directed. It suffers from having two leads that are not really able to sing and dance convincingly.
Which is a problem in a musical. Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we have a baseball team. Their only problem is they don't know how to play ball.
Yeah.
But other than that,
they're perfect.
Got a basketball team, but they're very short.
There are things to like about it. It turns out
many of the critics agreed with your
Ebert,
opinion.
Ebert defends it. Roger
John
Ebert.
Barber in Los Angeles Magazine said, Burt Reynolds sings like Dean Martin with adenoids and dances like a drunk killing cockroaches.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which is
pretty you know,
good,
she's very lovely to look at. Madeline Kahn brings a lot to the table, and the Cole Porter songs are wonderful. Now, what the movie just needs Gene Kelly.
Okay, well, now here's
Eleanor Powell.
Here's something with Cole Porter, and I say that Malcolm X plagiarized Cole Porter. Because, you know, Malcolm X has that speech where he goes, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed
yes,
on us.
Sure. That's right.
And that's in the beginning, the opening verse of the song, what's that famous,
Oh, which, where are you going with this? What's it about?
It's one of the very well known Cold
Quarter
songs.
Yes,
Let's Misbehave.
Oh God, what was this one?
I could look it up, but I'd lose the trail.
That's okay.
Of
anyway, all right, Frank, you look this up? This is horrible.
What do you got?
Cole Porter song in the verse. There's something about Plymouth Rock.
I think they may have sung it in Sleuth. They recited it.
Wow. Oh, the original Sleuth with Michael Caine
and Laurence Olivier.
And Mankiewicz?
Later remade.
Let's come back to it.
Okay, so...
Anyway, in the opening verse to that song, he says, and we won't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock will land on us.
What's that?
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something
shocking. Oh, it's Anything
Goes. Yeah.
The best way to sum this up is Burt Reynolds in a Cole Porter musical is like Gene Kelly in Deliverance.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a fair comparison. It's actually, I was watching parts of it today doing a little research when you sent me this idea. It's got some nice things in it. And I don't think Reynolds and Shepard were taking themselves all that seriously.
Yeah, you know,
fortunately.
Did you watch it on Netflix by any chance?
No, I just watched I just watched clips on YouTube.
It was recut several years ago, and everybody seemed to like the recut better, and Bogdanovich even added an extra 90 seconds or something to the new version.
Yeah.
So
he's a great director.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And now back to the show. Let's jump to the next one.
All right. So now we have...
We'll get mail about that.
Within our family, we have some disagreement over this, but the next one I have is Xanadu.
Yes, there's some unrest.
there are some who disagree.
And that's got Gene Kelly in it.
There you go.
That's
on
got,
skates.
And that's got Gene Kelly. That's right.
Everyone's going to start arguing over, like, these movies that are terrible, and there's always going to be someone who's going to say no.
In this case, my wife, who likes Xanadu.
Oh, it was horrible.
It's not much of a movie, but it does have those wonderful Jeff Lynne songs.
Olivia Newton-John is cute.
Yeah.
We can give her that. Now, Joe Mantegna.
Yes.
And Olivia Newton-John's a Jew.
Right. That's been covered in previous shows.
Joe Mantegna was also in the movie, but all of his scenes were cut out.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Joe Mantegna in Xanadu.
I think he never got over it.
Joe Mantegna's not a Jew.
Are you sure? Are you 100% sure?
We're still looking into
it. He was in Three Amigos. Does that make him Jewish
I went to see Xanadu on Broadway at my wife's request.
Who
turned up in the Gene Kelly part? Our pal Tony Roberts.
Oh my God.
I was crestfallen that he did not put on roller skates.
Oh, jeez.
It turns out, I asked Tony, we had him on the show, it turns out that was part of his agreement. No skates.
There was one part of Xanadu that annoyed me even more than the other part, which is every single part, where one guy's on roller skates and a guy in a car goes, "Come on, I'll give you a lift." And so the guy in roller skates holds on to the back of the car. And he pulled, and I thought, oh God, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Some good songs.
Stupid.
Some good pop songs in Xanadu, although it doesn't hold together much as a movie. What else you got on that?
One of the
list?
Critics says you want to scream Xanadon't.
Xanadon't. Oh, you've also compiled the bad reviews.
I wanted to make my case. Xanadon't. Yeah, I know this is a tough crowd.
Xanadon't.
And this
Xanadon't.
This brings us back to an old joke. What's the hardest part of rollerblading? telling your parents that you're gay.
Where'd you come up with that? That's funny. All right.
Now, where do we have? Is this where we go to our inserts here, or do we have one more?
Let's
first?
See. You have. I think you have another one.
One more. Okay. So, raise your hand if you think sequels are ever as good as the original movie.
No,
that they followed.
No. In fact, well, a man we're about to interview, Richard Benjamin, says you should remake flops, not hits.
Well, I mean, Godfather 2 was great.
Godfather 2 is an exception.
And Bride of Frankenstein's a great movie.
There you go.
There you go.
Xanadu right. 2 is awesome.
Xanadu
yes.
2.
And, of course,
this time
Grease
it's personal.
2 was Grease, brilliant.
And that's exactly where I was headed.
That's where
Grease
you headed 2. To Grease 2?
Grease 2, produced by Alan Carr and Robert Stigwood.
Yes, sure.
Right.
Also, and, the man behind Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh, my God. Right. Was that with George Burns?
Yeah, you bet. Yep.
He was, well, Stigwood was involved with Grease 1. He managed Cream and the Bee Gees.
That's correct.
And he was also involved in Saturday Night Fever.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was a mogul.
He was probably sorry he was involved. Now, who was the female lead, Gilbert, in Grease 2?
Grease, something Pfeiffer?
Michelle Pfeiffer is right.
Yeah.
Something
oh,
Pfeiffer.
Most people know her as something.
It was Michelle Pfeiffer, not her sister, Dee Dee.
Oh, Dee Dee, I was thinking
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Should I cue up the song Cool Rider?
No, that's okay. That my wife again likes Grease too. My wife's going to get mail now.
And then it's that Australian guy.
Maxwell, the immortal Maxwell Caulfield.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
He married whom? He was involved in a May-December marriage.
Ooh.
He married Juliet Mills from Nanny and the Professor.
Okay. Homosexual.
Yeah. I didn't say Martha Ray.
Yeah. Alleged.
Juliet Mills.
Alleged.
Alleged.
Other actresses who were up for the part were Lisa Hartman, Christy McNichol, Andrea McArdle, and Pat Benatar.
Wow.
Which would have been an interesting choice.
Very interesting.
So, but
very,
she didn't
very
get it.
Interesting.
Michelle Pfeiffer probably.
Pat Benatar would have made sense.
Yeah. Ron Dante, by the way, another podcast guest, instrumental in Pat Benatar's career early.
Now, I think we go to clip number 3.
Do you?
I think
you're
so.
You're on your own, kid.
Yeah, I don't
clip
know.
Clip number 3, let's Frank. Okay, so Gilbert has to guess this one.
Okay.
He's going to guess it pretty quick.
Maybe he'll drag it out for us.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain.
Oh, well, isn't that the one we just mentioned? Sergeant Pepper?
Yes. That's Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah, yeah. We were just talking
who's
about
singing
George Burns.
George Burns.
Very good.
Yes.
It's that.
I was shocked to discover
Steve
that George
Steve Martin
Burns.
Was in that, too.
He is. He is. You know what's strange about that film? A lot of things.
Yeah.
For one thing, it's truly terrible.
Oh, my God, horrible.
So, yeah, Donald Pleasance was in it.
Donald Pleasance sings.
And Aerosmith, Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
These are the good parts. Aerosmith, Alice Cooper, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah. The Aerosmith cover of Come Together is good.
But George Burns, I wondered whether you studied George Burns' work, vocal work.
And what was George Burns' real name, Gil?
Nathan Birnbaum.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Matt Birnbaum.
Yeah.
There's go ahead.
George Burns, I still remember this. He would sing these songs on The Tonight Show. And he goes, "My kid brother was a lazy kid. 3 days' work was all the work he did. Wrote a song entirely wrong. Up in Yonkers, it's going strong. George M. Cohen and the other gang heard my brother and the song he sang. Said it cannot miss. It's bound to be a hit. How can it miss? How can it miss when the chorus goes like this?"
That's nice.
And the song would start.
Will you do that for Richard Benjamin? We get him on the line?
Oh, sure.
They were buddies. They did the Sunshine Boys together.
Oh, okay.
Here's the other thing about the Steve Martin scene is fun, by the way, in Sergeant Pepper. I mean, he looks like he's having fun. The song is not much.
Right.
But I watched clips of it today. There's a finale that you simply have to watch to believe that has something like 70 stars in it. Singing Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh,
and it's this gigantic collection of people on a studio lot. You know the clip I'm talking about?
No, I haven't seen it.
And you can see Wolfman Jack is in it, Carol Channing, Jose Feliciano.
Wow.
Connie Stevens, Dame Edna turns up. It's like they called in every favor, got every celebrity that was on the lot to sing the finale. It's surreal.
Yeah.
The movie's not good.
Right. I passed by, I saw an ad on a bus for some Broadway or off-Broadway show, and the blurb on it was fantastic, RuPaul.
Is that not a ringing endorsement?
Yeah. Not quite the New York Times, but still,
you want to
very impressive.
You want to see a pretty good musical with Beatles music? Julie Taymor's Across the Universe.
Yeah, I've seen
was
that
good.
Actually. Yeah,
was good. Ambitious.
It's odd. It's unusual.
Odd.
Yeah,
it's odd, but it's hard.
But fun. Yeah, that's right.
Though, you know,
that's
those right. The only thing those movies are missing really are the Beatles.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
that
and
would help.
That's right. I did see. I remember one of those movies you heard about, and then I finally saw it, and it was just a mess. It was with the Beatles. What was
Yellow Submarine?
No. The Beatles were actually
Hard Day's Night.
No.
Oh, Help?
No.
Oh.
There was a third
with Six You Get Egg Roll.
Yeah. There was that one, and they sing in it. Mother Should Know.
Oh, the Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that
a mess.
Was a fucking mess
that's
and
a
half.
Mess. Yeah, I saw that at the Paley Center. But again, good moments in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. So we've got, let's see if I got the right one. Clip number three, I think, is coming up here.
Okay.
And this is another Identify the Singer, right?
Oh, oh yes. Oh,
right? This is what we...
You'll impress me if you know this one, Jill.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed with George Burns. The answer is nobody sings.
We'll be back after this.
We got to do a better job of queuing up these clips. Here it comes. All right.
The streets
you
are
see,
beautiful.
When I just a little tip. When I cue these clips up, I usually listen to them first.
So it's basically an instrumental.
Who's the second cellist?
It's Hugo Montenegro. Does he sing at any point, Frank?
There's 4 minutes left. Four more minutes. He might sing.
Here it comes.
Okay.
This is kind of a nice song.
Yeah. It was a novelty song.
Lee Marvin?
Oh my God!
That's actually Coldplay. Sorry.
I
quit too. How did you know that?
I don't know. I was listening. I said, oh, that voice. I definitely know that voice.
Yeah. Well, what would the musical be then?
Oh. Okay. Oh, wait. What the? Was that the one he did with Clint Eastwood?
You bet.
Paint Your Wagon.
Nice. You are a ringer. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, man.
Musicals, I thought we'd had a chance on musicals, but so far nothing.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
That one had a 14-minute lead-up.
There was a story I heard that Roger Ebert was interviewing Lee Marvin at his pool, and Lee Marvin's there in a bathrobe and a bottle of scotch and a cigarette, and his dog is running around.
I know this one.
Yes. And at right at the in the middle of his interview, Lee Marvin's wife comes home, and she says hello to everyone, and she looks down at the dog, and the dog is biting something in its mouth, and she pulls the thing out of his mouth, and it's a pair of women's underwear. And she holds them up, and she goes, "These aren't mine." And Lee Marvin looks down and goes, "Bad dog."
That's a great show business story. I think that's in the Dick Cavett Live episode.
Oh, yeah?
But certainly worth retelling. All right, as time runs short here, Mr. Rayburn.
So here's I'm going to give you a gradual reveal on this one. This is a movie. The main character was a shy Harlem school teacher.
Is this The Wiz?
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I didn't even get to.
Don't give him any hints. Don't give him any. Don't you know who you're dealing with?
Okay. The next one. All right.
It's also a send up of the Wizard of Oz movie.
Really?
Show. I worked for days on this show.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
It featured Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Paint Your Wagon, by the way, is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And but the screenplay was by, of all people, Patty Chayefsky.
Oh, my God.
Which I found out while doing a little research. And what you want in a bad movie is you want it to be 159 minutes long. Paint Your Wagon delivers. But
so who was the, now this should be easy, who directed The Wiz?
Well, of course.
Sidney Lumet.
How did that happen?
And Nipsey Russell was in it,
Russell, Michael Jackson was the Scarecrow. The music was supervised by Quincy Jones.
Of course.
There were new songs by Ashford and Simpson.
Yeah, A-list talent.
This had everything. This should have been fabulous.
There's a tie-in between Gilbert's side job last night and several parts of the movie.
How so?
Although it wouldn't have been at Citi Field, but there were big scenes that were filmed at Shea Stadium.
That's correct.
Oh!
That's correct. And the sets cost a fortune. I was doing a little research. The sets are massive on that movie. It's also not very good. And I know we talk a lot about Lumet, and he's wonderful. It is my favorite Nipsey Russell musical. I will say that. But
these new cutout fashions cause me to wonder in doubt. Are they outside trying to get in or inside trying to get out? According to Dan Cupid's plan, there is a girl for every man. I'm here to say if this is true, then some guy's shacking up with two.
He is good. Was that like a Match Game episode that stayed in your head from 1976?
Yes.
How do you remember this stuff?
That reminds me of the other.
How do you retain it?
And there was another one. Children today are different. As you already know, they used to ask where they came from. Now they tell you where to go.
We should do an all poetry episode.
We really should. We're gonna have to wrap this one tight.
We have time to have. I don't think we should get out of an episode without Gilbert singing one song.
Well, we'll do
you think? Can we do? Can we do?
Sure.
The next cue would be a good one, I think, which would be a chorus line. You want to talk about your? You want to.
We didn't queue up Chorus Line, did we?
I should just go out on The Whiz because it's such a
we'll
great
go out
movie.
On the Whiz. We'll go out on The Whiz, right, and we'll do Chorus Line next time. We'll continue this because it's a fun idea, and we barely scratched the surface.
Sounds good.
And we should get Jenny Lumet on the show to talk about
her
father.
Oh, that would be great.
Well, we'll look into that.
I think our next mini should be a super montage of all the times we say barely scratched the surface.
Do we say that a lot?
Oh, my God,
no,
yes.
No, only every episode of every. But I think that could be a really fun, you know.
Make something out of it, buddy. Make a montage.
We barely scratched the surface.
All right, so we'll do this again because it was fun. And
we barely scratched the surface.
Yeah, right. And we failed to stump Gilbert. So next time, we've got to work harder.
We would have had more time in the show had not the Paint Your Wagon clip had a 17-minute intro.
We could go out over this wonderful clip.
Here you go, Gil. You recognize this?
If you don't have STD, Crisco will do just fine.
It's from The Wiz, right?
Crisco will do just fine. That should have been a Deliverance.
To me, girl. Woo!
This has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. With an instrumental from Lee Marvin. And I still don't know what the fuck Paul does here.
He produces now.
Oh, okay.
Come on. He stayed up nights. He read in bed with a flashlight. Cut the guy some slack. Thank you, Paul. We'll see you guys next week.
I'm not sure I want to know what Paul does in bed with a flashlight.
And let me lubricate my mind. Slide some oil to me. Go ahead. Hit my shoulder.